De Dataloog is dé Nederlandse dialoog over big data, data science, machine learning en de datagedreven transformatie. Wij brengen de digitale datagedreven wereld dichtbij in het Nederlands en op een begrijpelijke manier. De Dataloog verbindt data scientists, consultants, technologiebedrijven, onderzoekers met elkaar. Onze uitzendingen bevatten ronde tafelgesprekken, diepte-interviews, toekomstverkenningen, mini-colleges over machine learning en verhalen van ervaringsdeskundigen.
En daar zijn we weer met weer een Google Cloud Summit special vandaag.
Another one.
We're gonna switch to English right now because we have an English non-Dutch.
Jurjen always said we will never ever have a podcast in English.
But now we have.
And there's exceptions, right?
Yeah.
It just happened.
This is indeed the second one. And we only have these podcasts in English if we have really good cases in from the to talk about. And this time we have cases, a very interesting case for you from the going to the cloud platform. Okay. So welcome all of you. Lex, welcome in another episode of the Dataloog.
Thank you very much, Jurjen.
And we got two wise men on the table here.
Two?
Yeah, two. I count two. Yeah. And we've got Lex.
Such a pity.
So, Jens, can you please introduce yourself, who you are and what brings you here?
Sure. Well, my name is Omero. I work with Molly.
Molly, yeah.
Yeah, Molly. You guys know Molly, right?
We know Molly, but the audience maybe may not know.
Yeah, okay. Docker with that name. But
yeah, okay. It's a bit of a funny name. But I think Molly, what Molly does is facilitates payments online. So we're an online first company. And currently, we're in the process of moving to the cloud, right? So my job in Molly is to really facilitate this by choosing the right technologies and making it safe, right?
So you're like Adyen, competitor of Adyen?
I'm a customer of Molly. What do you offer me?
We offer you a payment platform where you can choose any payment method.
And whatever, MasterCard,
yeah,
PayPal.
Whatever you want. Okay. And compared to Adyen, like you were saying, Adyen is more enterprise and we... Yeah. We serve mostly middle and
SMEs.
Small.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
Where are you from, Romero?
I'm from Mexico.
Well, you know, there are two Mexicans playing for a very famous, you know which team?
For Ajax.
Well, before the podcast, he said PSV, and I'm an Ajax fan, so...
He's a quick learner.
He's Google guy.
Was it reinforcement learning?
Yeah.
Unsupervised.
I was prepared for it.
Okay, so you work at... what's your background?
Actually, I studied electronic engineering.
Electronics and engineering? Yeah. Like welding and...
No. Like microchips. Microchips, those kind of things. But back in Mexico, there's no work for that. So I quickly shifted to software.
Yeah.
And I did a little startup in Mexico, then moved to the US for 3 years. And now I'm in this beautiful country.
Yeah. And you're...
With terrible weather.
With terrible weather and good football players.
And very expert in Google tools.
Yeah, correct. I think this is my third migration to the cloud, probably, with all the companies I've been with. So I got a little experience with that, yeah. Yeah.
And we've got Rokesh.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. What do you want to hear?
All of it. Who are you?
You?
Oh, damn. That's a really hard question. Do you want the good answer or the bad answer?
Or the wrong answer? I want the false positive.
So, in true life, I'm or daily life, I'm a customer engineer at Google Cloud here in Amsterdam and work on customers like Molly in this case, right? So I'm in the finance, insurance industry. Together with Lex, we do a couple of things. We try to do a couple of things. Yeah. So that's very interesting.
You cooperate with Lex?
What is a customer engineer doing, Rokesh?
So that's a friendly name for sales engineering. So I'm mostly involved on the technical part of the sales. So in this case, for example, this migration is a typical technical thing. There's just a business owner who says, you know what? We need to modernize or we have scaling problems. Maybe that comes from the technical team and then we help them do that. But it's not, you know, the contract doesn't take time. The technical part takes time.
Yeah.
And that's where we support our customers and help them make a migration happen.
Yeah. And if you talk about migration, are we talking about migrations purely of data or all the whole enterprise systems?
Yeah, well, we start normally. You can either decide to migrate your data first or migrate your application first. But in our case, we did the data first because Molly's been growing very, very fast. We were reaching certain limits in our databases.
But before we dive into the subject matter, laten we even overschakelen naar Nederlands. Want wij
het
hebben
data-nieuws van de week.
Ja, Rakesh gaat los.
Oh jee, nou goed, los van, dus ik ben nu in het Nederlands bezig, hè? Nee, het heeft te maken met, ik doe dus ook andere verticals, zoals dat heet. Dus los van finance, insurance, doe ik ook healthcare. En in de healthcare hebben we deze week wel iets leuks gebracht. Dus heel veel mensen zijn bang om data te verliezen. Ja, dus we hebben wel eens meegemaakt van de USB-sticks die ergens kwijtraken en opeens is iemand zijn functie kwijt. Nou, dat heet data loss prevention in het Engels. Daar hebben we dus een API op. En tot nu toe hebben we zeg maar, data loss prevention vooral toegepast op berichten waar bijvoorbeeld gevoelige informatie in staat, zoals BSN-nummers of creditcardnummers en dat soort dingen. Die worden automatisch uit het bericht gefilterd en geanonymized of geanonymized. En dan kan je het dus gebruiken voor onderzoek en je kan het je kan analyses op gaan doen zonder dat je PII, Personal Identifiable Information, vrijgeeft. Nou, in de healthcare API is deze week dus een best wel mooi voorbeeld naar voren gekomen waarbij je dus een X-ray image hebt, dus een röntgenfoto. En daar staan heel veel details op, ook patiëntsgegevens, ook best wel gevoelige informatie. Maar er staat ook hele relevante informatie op voor de artsen. En de DLP API heeft deze week een hele framework opgeschreven van hoe je dat zelf kan opzetten met de Google Cloud Healthcare API. En dan zie je zo'n röntgen image die binnenkomt met alle gegevens. De output daarvan is dan weer een image zonder gevoelige data, maar wel met de relevante data om onderzoek te kunnen doen. En dat vond ik wel heel bijzonder deze week. Het was echt een toeval dat deze week uitkwam, maar het is wel een van de mooiere toepassingen.
En je hebt dat artikel geschreven?
Nee. Het is toevallig deze week gepublished en toevallig had ik ook deze week een zorgconferentie waar ik sprak. Ja. En dat was gewoon een supermooi voorbeeld om te laten zien hoe actueel dit wel is.
Kunnen wij dat op de show notes kwijt, Jurien? Want ik denk wel dat dat interessant kan zijn.
Ja, zeker, als ik het linkje van Rakesh krijg, dan stop het even op de show notes.
Die heb ik nu doorgezet.
Een hele korte, wat is nou de acceptatie in de medische wereld van deze oplossing? Of zegt iedereen mooi?
Nou, het hangt er vanaf in welk land je zit. Dus kijk, als je kijkt Nederland, naar Amerika, dan Nederland. Is het redelijk goed. Als ik kijk naar EU, want daar gaat het om, GDPR compliant, dan daar hebben we ook een hele mooie overwinning behaald. Doordat nu door de regering zelfs is gezegd, of de autoriteitspersoonsgegevens, dat data in Google Cloud, medische data in Google Cloud, dat mag.
Het data-nieuws van de week.
Weer het herhalen, Rakesh.
Dus medische data is door de autoriteitspersoonsgegevens toegestaan op Google Cloud.
Goedemorgen.
En nu is de discussie is nu verder gegaan eigenlijk van, willen we wel data in de cloud vendors van de wereld? Dat is nu de volgende vraag.
Duidelijk.
Want dat zijn vooral Amerikaanse partijen.
Well, I hope so that I'll switch to English in this case. That the Dutch media does what you often see is as soon as there's a media outing on having medical data on a cloud service, particularly Google, then the people start asking questions, raising questions on the government starts asking questions. Should we do this? And I hope this press release. This
was important to us.
This is really important to continue to innovate using cloud services.
Yep.
Back to migration.
Back to migration. Yeah.
Of course.
What kind of migration are you talking about?
Yeah well, not the health migration.
Yeah, or from Mexico.
Hey, but
Mexican migration.
We spoke about a lot of the culture change is important to make use of data. And what's your experience with Mexico, US, and the Netherlands? With regard to acceptation of data-driven solutions and privacy issues in the culture, do you see many differences, or is it? Are we lacking behind? Are we moving?
No, I would say the Netherlands actually, in my experience, is very good with protecting this kind of data. In comparison, for example, to the US, I think US people tend to just give out their data. They sell it just for free products or things like this. And at the end, they don't realize that they are the product, right? Their data, their information, and all of this. And we saw, I saw a conference today that talked about the Cambridge Analytica issue, where they were actually using a lot of data that users gave willingly, and then now it's used for them in a political manner. So it's important to protect it.
Yeah. Another case. So you at Molly Payments, you're let's start from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You were using a non-cloud enterprise solution to do payments
on-premise. Yeah,
on-premise. Yeah, in a data warehouse somewhere in the Netherlands.
Yeah, some data center in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
It ran very good. I think for more than 10 years, it really helped us scale and grow. But we're reaching our limit where if we want to keep growing, we really need that scalability, right?
When is this sense of urgency that you think, hey, now technology is limiting us? How do you feel that? How do you sense that in an organization?
So most of the time, you have graphs, right, that you're looking at and say, oh, okay, we're growing this way. But it's really interesting that once you start reaching certain limits of, for example, your current infrastructure, small things start to pop up here and there. Oh, now this number is reaching a limit, and you start getting errors. And
it's literally a limit.
Yeah. Sorry?
It's literally a limit.
Yeah, there's a limit to how. So then both you have to find ways how to scale and also change how you work, because if you scale from 0 to 100, it worked perfectly. But from 100 to 1,000, you need the microservices, you need Kubernetes, you need all of these new technologies to keep growing, right?
So if I understand you correctly, you're in your organization, you're having a number of transactions as a figure over time, mm-hmm. number of graphs, number of IT costs. Mm-hmm. And at a certain moment, you see. What do you see? What do you when?
Is the speed going down? Is the cost going up? Is the IT manager frustrated because electricity is down? I mean, what are the things that they make a decision? Let's go to the cloud.
Yeah, so we reached, we grew so much in Netherlands and Belgium as well. And well, our next targets are Germany, France, all around. So those are our new goals, right? So if we want to keep this, how do you call it, the graph that's going up and keep the same trend, you need to change.
Well,
let's
switch over to Rakesh because, you know, he's already texting customers. What a shitty podcast. Hey, why are companies, what is the point that companies are saying, well, you know, we cannot move on with on-premise, let's go to the cloud?
Let's call Rakesh.
Because,
What questions do you get?
06.
I can name a very big company that we paid a visit a couple of months ago, and they're not willing to move to the cloud. So what is the reason why they want to keep everything on-premise and not going to the cloud? And what is your sales pitch? Hey, listen.
I think in that context, it's maturity of the company. You know, are you
is it a culture or is it a maturity?
It's a couple of things. So it could be a cultural thing. It could be regulations. It could be... again, maturity of the developers. Are they aware of the things that are possible? Because at Molly, I think there's quite a young and eager team that wants to do it. If you look at, I think most of the insurance company, but I'm not generalizing here, but I think age could play a role and that people keep, you know, keep in the comfort zone. And the cloud sounds like a bit spooky, a bit fast. Could be. But there are many reasons that people or companies would say, okay, it's not time yet. But it's a matter of time that they start understanding it.
But so what is the top three? Willing against? Is it culture?
Okay, specifically, so you have cloud and you have Google Cloud, right?
Yeah.
So if you if I talk about Google Cloud, I think the top three is the brand, Google.
Yeah.
Google can see my data. That's the kind
still
of thing. But there's... Yeah, of course. It's a public opinion, which is hard to mitigate. And then you have, because Google and Google Cloud are two different things, different terms and conditions. Then there's what the hell are we doing? And then there's like a master plan of like 5 to 10 years, which is okay if we were 10 years back in time, then you create plans of 5 to 10 years. But now in this fast-paced moving world, it's really hard to you know, they need to figure out themselves that they need to do it. If you start pushing it, you probably push them away.
Yeah.
So my approach is also, you know, inform them, help them, create awareness of the possibilities. And sometimes a team itself says, you know, I think we need to move to the cloud because otherwise we're going to crash. with the growth rate that we have. And that's exactly the case at Molly, right?
And your second point, what the hell are we doing? What do you mean with it?
In which context again?
Well, your second point of the three was, what the hell are we doing?
In the cloud.
In the cloud. Again, so if you want to move to the cloud, you need to have a plan there, right? So if you just go and say, I want to do Kubernetes, good luck with that, because creating new pieces of software. So, for example, it was quite common to create, like 5 years ago, monoliths. Mm-hmm. I think we have that still at Molly. And to break it up in parts, that is a totally different game than moving to the cloud. So there are many challenges if you want to do it in a perfect way. What we see at Molly is that they do it in a, they have a strategy of moving to the cloud, first things first. So in this case, I think it was lift and shift specifically.
Yep.
And then from that moment on, you start tearing the application apart, probably. But that, I think...
So walk us through the process, please. We want to know, lift and shift. How did you start?
Can do it best.
First step.
Yeah.
First step is there's this guy in management that goes to a conference and says, oh, we should move to the cloud.
Yeah, but listen, that's very important.
Yeah, that is important.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of companies make the mistake. That
What was the title of that guy who went to the conference?
It was me one time.
Oh, okay. And your title was CTO? And was
In my two people company, it was CTO, yeah.
Yeah, okay, clear.
Yeah.
And then?
And then, yeah. It depends. Do you have things already built? If you have nothing built, it's super easy to just start using things. But every business has different requirements, complexities, and I think it's really hard to sometimes try to break down into what parts you need to start with. In our case, we started with things that will pay off first. Things that if we invest now, we will get returns.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, like we migrated the database because it was filling up, so we can either buy new hardware and scale it, but then we will lease it for many years, or just fix it now and have the ability to scale automatically with the
cloud. And what kind of technology was the on-premise technology and the cloud technology? We're talking about SQL, or are we talking about Kafka?
SQL.
SQL.
Yeah. Actually, we just had a presentation together about this topic where we explained what the different strategies are of moving to the cloud and what the challenges are, right? So in this case, we did a homogeneous migration of MySQL to Cloud SQL, which includes MySQL.
Okay.
It on paper it seems simple, but luckily Homero was there to explain a customer case, a successful customer case though, but what are the challenges in that process?
Please.
Yeah, so your basic requirements are you want to make sure people keep paying, right? So you cannot really afford a little bit of downtime here. So you really need to plan your things, you need to test, you need to make sure you know what you're doing, you tested every little thing, you have to feel really confident, and then you do it a little bit, and then in incremental steps until you feel more confident, and then you get there. And all along the way, you need to have ways to go back. Okay, because we made a mistake here, we can go back. You always have a plan B, right? So it's sometimes I think people just want to get to the cloud, but they should take their time and test all along the way.
Google has a lot of opportunities for different sort of data storage. Why did you choose specific for this solution?
I think in this case, it was a lift and shift. I think partly it's also the wish of the customer, because they don't want to do... So if you're going to migrate and you're going to say, you know, we're going to migrate to the cloud, and in the same time, we're going to move to a new database called Cloud Spanner.
Yeah, whatever.
You're adding risk to the whole situation, right? Yeah. And plus, there's I think there's not a lot of experience yet in Spanner.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that adds to the complexity. So if you do migration, you know, mitigate the complexity and say, okay, I want to go for the safe route. And from now on, that's the cool part. Yeah. Now that they're in the cloud, they can start spinning up new machine, import the data automatically while the production database is still up and running. And they can start experimenting with production data on Spanner now.
Yep.
And then, you know, there are many ways to go forward from here on.
Clear.
And that's strategy-wise, I think, a very wise point. Because, this was also quite a nice statement in your presentation, that Maybe you should explain it. The company that went down, and how much did it cost per day or per minute?
Oh, yeah. It was an article from 2012, a company called Knight Capital, who was deploying just some normal code to their servers, and they had some outdated manual. So they forgot to deploy to one of the servers. So this caused a glitch, and they were losing $10 million per minute.
Ouch.
And that lasted 44 minutes. So I think...
You were not in charge.
I was not in charge.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to... What I was trying to say with this is that even little mistakes can cost a lot of money.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it can even destroy a company if you think about it.
So lift and shift, to keep it very simple, you take a technology, move to the cloud, same technology, no risk, simply the storage of the data itself is on a different... device outside of you.
I wouldn't say no risk.
Yeah, exactly.
Challenge. I feel another challenge coming up. Omero, tell me, what's the challenge?
Well, the challenge is you're moving to a technology that you might not have enough experience with. If you've been operating this technology for 10 years and then you move to something new, there's obviously things you haven't seen before. So it's important to do test things, right? So there's always risk.
So we added, I think, a little bit to the complexity because there's an option to create in Google Cloud virtual machines.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could put the MySQL database, you could put it on that. But in this case, it was not chosen to go for that direction, but it was chosen to go for managed SQL. So this is exactly what I mean. You're adding to the complexity of a migration, which is anyhow there,
mm-hmm.
zero downtime preferably, because otherwise it will cost money. But now you're adding a managed version to the complexity, which will help you in the future, but it also has different behavior than what you were used to. And that's something you need to calculate. You need to quantify what the risk is in that context.
Managed in this case means the management, the technical management is being done not by Molly's, but by Google itself.
Yeah.
And actually... Lex, you're into the risk business, so...
We are.
Yeah, how would you say, what would you say about this approach if you were doing migration in this context? Yeah, interview changed.
I'm listening very carefully because what I understand from you is it's not an easy dinner. So it means a lot of risk involved. And I'm interested to the point that you had to switch over to the cloud solution.
Yeah.
Was that a scary moment?
Obviously you come to a point of no return. And that's, I think, the scary moment where you said, okay, is there anything else I can think about that I can still test? And if your answer is no, then you can do it. But if there's still a little thing, you would say, maybe, but it will take me another month. Yeah. I think you should still do it.
But was there a test run or for a couple of weeks?
We did multiple test runs, many dry runs, a lot of different scenarios.
My question as well. How long?
How long?
How long?
I would say maybe 2 months for testing and making sure things are optimized and things are running fine. And start again and keep testing, right?
Yeah. And the whole project,
but
this is one application, not the whole model, right?
So okay. If I'm correct, wait 1 second. It took you 2 months to move one application to the cloud.
Yeah, but this was our first application moving to the cloud.
Yeah.
So
and the second.
The second is coming, but
that one is much bigger, of course. But now you have.
But we learned a lot, you know, all along the way.
Hey, and what are the learnings? The top three.
Testing,
controlling Rakesh.
I was okay.
Don't go too fast.
He wants to go fast.
Rakesh, no. And I think it's very nice to have Google's back. I think in many cases when we needed some more information or some Google engineers to help us explain their technologies, they were always available. And I think that was very nice.
That was actually fun working together.
Clear.
Yeah.
Hey, and before the transfer, did you have any Google knowledge? Or did you went to a course? Or was it just a sales guy who dropped by and you said, well, maybe this is the way to go? Was there were there educations? How was it done?
Yeah, I had a Google migration on my previous work.
Okay, clear. So
but it was different, I think. You encounter very different scenarios, different organizations.
Because technology goes so fast, or
because every it was a weather company, and they use different systems and technology databases. So every time you do something new, it has some
clear.
Yeah. Plus, stuff. I think in case the weather environment would go down, you wouldn't lose millions.
Yeah.
but the location, if a company they have stuff on premise, and they want to migrate everything to the cloud, what is the assumption with regard to the learning curve? Do they need to follow courses?
Oh, that's a very good question. So, again, it depends on the developers. So, in the end, developers, engineers are doing the work. And I think it's very important to understand what the skill set of the developer is and where they need to add to
but
the
in,
skill set.
But in general?
In general, I would say get your skills together. Try to get certified.
Do you need to certification.
To get certified, because the certification program of Google is quite intense. Some people say even it's hard.
I know everything about it. I'm doing it currently.
Yeah, it's hard. But in the end, when you get your certification, it's valuable. It's giving you really... Because the exam is not about what's the difference between this and that. No, the question is, hey, I have a situation. This is happening. I see this happening. What would you, as a cloud architect, advise in this context?
Yeah.
And then you have to really think like a cloud architect. And that's the challenge. You have to get in that mindset of, okay, what are the economics? What is the dynamics in a cloud environment? And how would I use it? Clear. And why? And what is the best option?
Hey, the first project is done now. What are the the wins from it, going from prem to cloud?
Yeah, we actually it had a very big performance improvement. That one.
But what's big?
Maybe times 10 faster, which that's is really nice.
Oh, you're did you get
10
it?
Times,
yeah, but it's the 10th of the 10th today.
Oh yeah,
and it's 10 times
ten
faster.
Times faster.
Yeah. Do you feel it?
It was not on purpose. It was not on purpose.
ten times.
This was not rehearsed.
Jesus, it's 10 minutes past four.
Oh shit! I'm too late.
Ooh. Anyway, but what are the so performance?
Performance is one we learned, so we can use those learnings for upcoming migrations. So we will apply those.
Cost-wise?
I think it might be cheaper. I mean, the
it
thing
might
is
be cheaper.
Yeah.
You can make it cheaper, but the thing is, before, when you're on your own infrastructure on premise, you're stuck with it. But now you can, if you make it optimize it, you can maybe spend less, but you can also spend more. Right?
So how about the
security?
Security, yeah, I think it's tricky. Security, because when you have also on premise, everything is under your control. Nothing changes, and because the nature of the cloud is changing, growing, it does bring more challenges to security.
Clear. Yeah. So the main thing is performance.
Yeah.
No, there's another thing, because I saw an happy colleague of yours.
Yeah.
She could do, finally, she can do data analytics on it.
Well, that's
on the data.
That is my second point.
Exactly.
The sales pitch from Google to go to the cloud is bring all your stuff to the cloud, but then the second one is smart analytics.
Yeah.
What are you planning to do with regard to smart analytics?
Well, we're trying to become a more data driven company, so we can really plug things up to Google services and then just spin up a cluster and then start analyzing things. So I think the cloud will bring a lot of opportunities.
But was there a serious thought to by using smart analytics to go to the cloud, or was it purely performance? And
I think it was mostly performance and scaling.
So that's indeed the answer of a technical guy.
But that's my job.
Exactly.
To provide this. But I know a lot of these people that work for data and analytics. They said, "Oh, perfect! Now we can just plug in here and take what we need."
And exactly. So indeed, we talked to Homero about the technical part.
Yeah.
And if you talk about talk with others within the company, one of the important things of one of your founders, Adrian Mol.
Yeah.
Awesome guy, by the way.
Molly?
Yeah, he's seriously awesome. For example, churning.
Yeah, no, clear.
Right? So churning is typically an analytics thing that you do on data and you try to get a pattern. And that's something a technical guy necessarily wouldn't check, but a data analytics person would say, yay, let's go for it. And let's.
You could not do data analytics on your previous on-premise technical solution?
We did some, but it was
slow.
Rudimentary.
Okay.
Yeah, you could do it technically, but it's a central database. Yeah, so if everybody's on it, it's gonna.
Yeah. It's really a game changer, I would say, having it on the cloud.
That's good. I know. I mean, that's for me, it's a serious plus to go to the cloud. But the funny thing is, everybody talks about performance improvements.
Yeah.
Well, I see the huge added value with new business cases is smart analytics.
Yeah, but that's exactly the word, the business case, right? The business case is not necessarily a technical argument. It's so that's why we had many conversations before we actually met, I think.
Yeah.
With the owner, what is his vision? Where does he want to be in a couple of years? And how to get there? And the how part, that's the part where you start thinking about the cloud.
Yeah, and it's also, if you take a narrow business case of only looking at the operational expenses for IT, rather than taking a broad business case of doing, okay, what can I do next to the current situation, what I can't do now, in future, what I can do, then your business case input changes as well.
Yep.
And I think one of the things I've now learned from you is you shouldn't focus on this narrow business case of only migrating IT to the cloud. You should focus on the broad business case and say, okay, what now? What can we not do? What would we like to do?
Exactly.
What we cannot do, and what we can do in the future as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm that guy that looks at opportunities. What is possible after this, right?
Yeah.
And then the sky is the limit, literally.
Hey, Rakesh, I have a lot of customers. You convince them of smart analytics, and then always. You have either the IT manager or come up with a couple of things that he's saying it's not a good decision. And then you have somebody around the table who's asking a lot of questions about security of the Google Cloud. Yep. Can you please help me and say something on our podcast?
How is Google doing
the security of the cloud?
This is a shout out to my colleague, John Stone. The general answer is, if people want to have a one-on-one session with their CISO, security officer, or and Google, we can set it up because this is not something you say, here's a pile of paper, good luck.
Yeah, right? And what's the, by the way, the document, the pile of paper? That's
it's cloud.google.com/security. You'll find many ways that we...
On the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. But actually, all the information of how we handle security within Google, and it depends on many. It's on many levels, right? It's on your login, but it's also on the services that you have. In case of Molly, I think we suggested to have a perimeter around your data, so never data can go out. Not sure if it's implemented, but we have all those features ready for customers to start using it, right? But still, if clicking through a site is too much work, we offer one-on-one conversations with our security specialist.
Who is?
John Stone.
Okay.
He is awesome. But that's a conversation where you definitely will, start digging into the why. Why is it a problem, according to you, right? And this is exactly the example of what was in the news on the medical records, that medical data was stored in the cloud. And then they did an assessment, more or less run by government, autoriteit persoonsgegeven, and they didn't find anything that was wrong, right? So technically, we can cover anything that's legally needed.
So if we go through all the paperwork and have a session one-on-one,
you can do that,
or
you can learn from what that happened already.
The big question that you will answer now is the Google Cloud secure?
I'm far more secure than your own server or what many customers have their own. What are you gonna do?
Data news van de week.
So Google Cloud is pretty secure because I think this is also
pretty or 100%.
100% is hard, but it comes in the area of a couple of nines.
Was your data center on-prem 100% or pretty sure secure?
We try to get to 100%.
Okay, you feel secure now with the Google Cloud as well.
Yeah.
So we round it off?
Yeah.
We can go on for hours.
For hours,
Alex, you and me.
We will invite you for a new conversation.
In Nederland.
In Nederland, on the cloud, of course. But that brings us this session on migration to the cloud to an end. If you want to know, als je meer wil weten over migratie naar de cloud en hoe je dat doet en wat je tegenkomt en het eerlijke verhaal, dan kun je natuurlijk Molly benaderen. of de meer mensen hierheen. Ja, goed verhaal. Ja, Rokesh. Ja,
ja,
ja, ja,
Rokesh. Ja. Jullie willen het, weten er nu ook alles van. Dus,
ja, precies. Ja.
Ik ga jou migreren naar de cloud.
Ik ga mij migreren naar de cloud.
They can represent us, right?
Of course.
If there are questions.
And again,
we're not
Alvarez en Martinez, best players of Ajax.
We gaan eruit.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bedankt voor het luisteren naar deze uitzending van de Dataloog podcast. Wil je automatisch wekelijkse podcast ontvangen? Klik dan op subscribe in jouw favoriete podcastprogramma. Vond je onze podcast leuk, goed, interessant of wellicht te veel enen en nullen? Laat een review achter of geef thumbs up. Heb je vragen of opmerkingen? Kijk dan ook eens op www.dedataloog.nl. Hier staan ook de show notes van alle uitzendingen. De studio van de Dataloog is gesponsord door het onderzoeksprogramma Urban Technology van de Hogeschool van Amsterdam. Alles wat we maken doen we onder Creative Commons. Je mag alles hergebruiken voor niet-commerciële doeleinden, zolang je ons als bron maar noemt. Volg ons op Twitter op @dedataloog. Graag tot de volgende keer en voor nu, tot data!